Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today is Ekadasi, and we will read from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. So this is a chapter titled Beyond the Lower East Side. They have a translator back there. Anuvada K. Okay. Anyway. Sri Sri Gonatai ki. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Sri Sri Radha Rasabi Hari ki. So, chapter titled Beyond the Lower East Side. And we are fasting this morning. And the section we are going to read now is all about prasadam. So, you'll get into the mood for later on when we do take prasadam. The first few love feasts were not very well attended, but the devotees were so enthusiastic about the feast prasadam that they showed no disappointment over the scarcity of guests. They were prepared to eat everything. There was something called Brahman spaghetti, which was rice flour noodles cooked in ghee and soaked in sugar water. And there was halava, pushpana rice with fried cheese balls, samosas, split mung beans, fried into crunchy pellets and mixed with salt and spices, puris, gulab jamuns, and everything was succulent. That was the word Hayagriva used. Yes, he would say, everything, expressing it waggishly. Everything was very succulent. Eating the feast was an intense experience. We were supposed to be subduing our senses all week, following strict regulations, controlling the tongue. And the feast was a kind of reward. Swamiji and Krishna were giving us a taste of full spiritual ecstasy, even though we were still beginners and still in the material world. Before taking my plateful, I would pray, please let me remain in Krishna consciousness because it is so nice and I am so fallen. Let me serve Swamiji, and let me now enjoy this feast in transcendental bliss. And I would begin eating, going from one taste sensation to another. The good rice, the favorite vegetable, the bread, and saving the gulab jamun for last, thinking, I can have seconds, and if I like, thirds. We would keep our eyes on the big pots, confident that there was as much as we wanted. It was a time of rededication. We all enjoyed with completely open relish and sense gratification. Eating was very important. Gradually, attendance picked up. The feasts were free, and they were reputed to be delicious. Mostly local hippies came, but occasionally a higher class of experimenting New Yorkers or even the parents of one of the devotees would come. When the small temple was filled, guests would sit in the courtyard. They would take their prasadam-laden paper plates and their wooden spoons into the backyard garden and sit beneath the fire escape or at the picnic table or anywhere. And after eating, they would go back into the storefront for more. Devotees were stationed behind the pots of prasadam, and the guests would come by for seconds. The other tenants were not very happy about seeing the courtyard full of festive guests, and the devotees tried to pacify them by bringing them plates of prasadam. Although Swamiji would not go down to the temple, he would take a plate in his room and hear with pleasure about the success of his new program. One time, the devotees were eating so ravenously that they threatened to eat everything available before the guests had all been served. And Kirtanananda had to admonish them for their selfish attitude. Gradually, they were understanding that the Sunday feast was not just for their fun and pleasure, but to bring people to Krishna consciousness. So let's say a few words about that. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschacya Deshatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, well, sometimes devotees raise an interesting question. What would it be like if the Yuga Dharma was eating prasadam? It is not. It is the chanting of the holy names. But still, it's an interesting thought. And, well, prasadam is a very important part of Krishna consciousness. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya, on different occasions, would be there with a big gathering of devotees, and they would be distributing prasadam to the devotees. And Lord Chaitanya, there are descriptions, he would go around sometimes saying, "Give them more, give them more. Feed them up to their necks and beyond." So really, it's there. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is not just because we are just more prone to enjoy sense gratification. although we are. But that's not really just the point. The point is that prasadam is very amazing. And it has very amazing Krishna conscious properties and Krishna conscious effects. I remember, well, I was told many years ago when we registered Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON in South Africa. It was, I think, 1975, and devotee, they filled out all the documents for registering an organization legally, and they went to the capital city, Pretoria, and went into the place where you register different organizations. So there they were. Well, one devotee went and he handed in the papers, and the man behind the desk, who was a very conservative Christian white man, because those were the days of apartheid, if you've heard of apartheid, and there was a lot of social tension. So the official looked at the documents and it said name of organization, and devotees had written International Society for Krishna Consciousness in brackets ISKCON. So this official looked at it and said, no, you cannot be International Society for Krishna Consciousness ISKCON. You have to be South African Society for Krishna Consciousness, SASKCON. Really? And the devotee said, no, we're part of an international organization, and so we're International Society, ISKCON. And the man said, no, South African Society, SASKCON. And they went back and forth a bit, and the devotee could see he was not making progress. The man was not changing his mind. So the devotee had some Simply Wonderfuls. This is the name Prabhupada gave them. Little white sweet balls made of icing sugar, butter and milk powder, right? Yeah. So the devotee had some, and he pulled one out, and he just gave the man one. The man was taken by surprise. Normally people don't do that when they're registering an organization. So now he's looking at this Simply Wonderful, wondering what it is and what to do and how to react. And the devotee said, it's for you. My wife made them for you. Eat it. So the man looked at it and he just put the whole thing in his mouth. And then big smile came across his face and he said, all right, you can be International Society. Yeah, true story. Prasadam is very powerful. Never underestimate prasadam. So here we are reading one of the accounts at Satsvarup. Maharaj is actually reciting the whole description there about the Sunday feasts they would have, and the devotees, they're very new devotees, and many of them are not really devotees exactly. I mean, they're just in the very early stages, very early. But prasadam, because prasadam has that unique transcendental quality, along with just the sort of cultural elements of prasadam, the devotees became extremely attached to prasadam. And they would eat as much as they could. Even Prabhupada said, you should eat until you waddle like a duck. Waddle. This is esoteric English term. This is how ducks walk. It's very sort of, because they have kind of fat bodies and little legs, and they sort of move in awkward ways. So Prabhupada said that. At least for the new devotees, it's okay, because it helps get attachment to Krishna via prasadam. And for some time, in New Vrindavan in America, a devotee would bring out, weekly or monthly, I forget, a little publication. And it was called Confessions of a Prasadam Addict. Yeah. And he would write about the last feast. And he would say that during the week, what would keep him going spiritually and sort of keep him focused up until Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he would manage to carry on remembering the previous Sunday feast. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he would carry on by thinking of the next Sunday feast. And seriously, he printed a little magazine every week or every month. What was it? Week or month or something. And he would review the prasadam, the different preparations. He would write a review and compare them. So, yeah, it's a major factor in Krishna consciousness. And there are many prasadam stories. Well, that little one from South Africa is one. But one time, when Srila Prabhupada brought the first group of devotees from the Western world to India, one time they went to a temple. If I remember correctly, a temple of one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers. And there, the devotees from that temple, they prepared a very nice feast for Prabhupada and his disciples. So they all sat down and took prasadam, and Prabhupada took prasadam with the devotees. Normally Prabhupada would just take in his rooms, but this time he took prasadam with the devotees, and Prabhupada, he didn't eat a lot. He just ate some relatively small amount. And then he told his servant, all right, distribute the rest. So the servant went around distributing Prabhupada's remnants. And one devotee, famous devotee, we will not mention his name, but a very senior devotee, he got Srila Prabhupada's gulab jamun mentioned here. And Srila Prabhupada had taken a bite from the gulab jamun. So it's extra special. Maha, maha, maha prasad. And this devotee is sitting there. Gulab jamun is sitting there on his plate. And he's just a little stunned, thinking, what mercy have I got? And another devotee came and grabbed it and put it in his mouth, and it was gone. And the other devotee who had been sitting there looking at it on his plate, he was shocked. He was terribly shocked and went to Srila Prabhupada and complained that I got your Mahaprasada. And it was very, it was very wonderful. And I was just about to take it, and this devotee stole it and ate it. And his idea was that Prabhupada might chastise that devotee a little bit and tell him not to do it again. But no, Srila Prabhupada laughed and said, oh, he was very intelligent. And then, as I understand, the same day, Prabhupada said, there are two types of devotees. One likes to eat prasadam, and the other likes to distribute, serve prasadam. Prabhupada said, they are both good. They are both good. But the one who likes to serve the prasadam is better. And one of Prabhupada's female disciples, if I remember correctly, in Jaipur, when Prabhupada was there once doing a program, she was making chapatis for Srila Prabhupada. And she's making quite a number, one after the other. And one monkey came. Bandar. One monkey came, and he's watching this, really watching it, and trying to come forward and grab one. But the devotee, Mataji, she was watching him, watching the chapati, watching the monkey, like that. And she'd wave the rolling pin at him, and he'd back off, but not too far. And then he'd come forward again, and she'd wave the thing at him, he'd back off. But then at some point, she just got absorbed in the chapatis. Shishi Radha Rasmi Hari Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. At one point, she got absorbed in the chapatis, and the monkey came and just grabbed a whole handful, and he was gone. And Prabhupada appeared on the scene right at that point, and he saw that. And Prabhupada said, you see, that monkey is more intelligent than you in regards to prasadam, because he got the prasadam and you didn't. So, yes. Yeah, so there are many stories of prasadam and the devotees' enthusiasm for prasadam. One time in Bhaktivedanta Manor near London, the devotees made Srila Prabhupada some very special halava. They used, sometimes devotees use water. They didn't use water. Sometimes devotees use milk. This is a step up. These devotees did not use milk. These devotees used something called, it's a special British phenomenon, clotted cream. Have you heard of clotted cream? Have you ever experienced it? No, you have not lived. Anyway, they use clotted cream, which is cream which is cooked a little until it becomes solid. Yeah. And you take the container, you hold it upside down, nothing comes out. You shake it, nothing comes out. You have to use a spoon. But it's cream. So they made the halava with this. And Prabhupada started eating this. And Prabhupada stopped. He was quite struck by the halava. And Prabhupada said, "What is the secret weapon behind this halava?" And the devotees explained it was this really special cream. It's quite amazing stuff. Another time, Tejas Prabhu. Do any of you know Tejas Prabhu? Disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He was temple president in Delhi for some time. A very nice devotee. So, one day in Delhi, Prabhupada's cook became sick. And there was no one to cook. So Prabhupada asked Tejas, "Can you cook?" And Tejas, you know, if you know Tejas, he's a very reserved person. And he doesn't just, he thinks before he speaks. He doesn't just blurt things out. So Prabhupada asked him, "Can you cook?" And he said, "Somewhat." And Prabhupada said, "Well, can you cook my lunch?" So this Tejas, he asked the devotee who was the cook, "What were you going to cook?" And the devotee said, "Upma." And Tejas went to a nearby super gourmet restaurant. You know, really high level, expensive restaurant. And he spoke to the cook and got a recipe for upma. Like a very exotic upma from the cook. And he made Prabhupada this very rich upma. Like a very extreme version of upma. And then served it to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada had some, and he finished his plate and asked for more. And then he finished that second plate and asked for more. And Prabhupada more or less finished quite a bit of upma. And normally Prabhupada would not eat a lot, but this time he really ate quite a bit. The next morning, Prabhupada was a little nauseous, a little sick, and he didn't get up initially, but then he got up and he went on his morning walk. And as he was walking, and Tejas was there, and some various other senior devotees, Prabhupada turned to one of the sannyasis and said, "That devotee who cooked lunch for me yesterday, he tried to poison me." Everyone was shocked. Everyone looked at Tejas, because they knew he was the one who had cooked. And Prabhupada said, "Yes, he made this upma for me, and it was so good I ate too much. And this morning I don't feel so good." Yes. And another thing Tejas told us about prasadam in relation to Srila Prabhupada. Tejas Prabhu had just recently been married to some very qualified devotee lady. But there was developing in ISKCON at the time was a very special phenomenon here and there, and it was quite widespread, of devotees taking sannyas. And it was pretty much the thing to do. If anyone was a little senior, then they were encouraged to take sannyas. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and particularly Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and one or two other sannyasis, they had been speaking to Tejas, telling him he should take sannyas, although he had just become married, just not long at all before. So he became a little sort of bewildered, and he went to Srila Prabhupada to ask him. So he went in and said, Srila Prabhupada, I'd like to take sannyas. Prabhupada looked at him and said, why? And he said a few things about, you know, I could preach more and so on. And Prabhupada said, but you were just married, and your wife is very good devotee. You can preach together. And Tejas tried to say some other things, and it went back and forth a little bit, but then Tejas saw that Prabhupada was not accepting the idea. And so Prabhupada said, so you remain grihasta. It is no different if you preach. So you just remain grihasta. And Prabhupada had a whole big bowl of fruit on the table. Prabhupada gave him one banana. Prabhupada said, here, take some prasadam. And then Prabhupada started preaching to him about how anyone can preach, and there's no need to take sannyas as a fashion. And every sentence, Prabhupada gave him another piece of fruit. So one banana, then an orange, and then a little more preaching, then an apple, then another 30 seconds of preaching, then some other fruit, and a little more preaching, and then another fruit, and until Tejas couldn't hold it in one hand. So now he was sitting there with his two hands, and Prabhupada just went on like that. A little preaching, another fruit. A little preaching, another fruit. Until it was just overflowing in Tejas' hands. And, you know, things were falling off. And Prabhupada told him, so don't worry. You just be a good Krishna conscious grihasta. Yeah. And then later that day, Prabhupada had darshan in his room, and so room full of devotees, and Tejas came in and he's looking, where's a spot where I can sit down? And he saw a spot sort of in the middle of the room, so he made his way through the devotees, kind of, you know, everyone had to move out of the way, and it was creating a little bit of a disturbance. So when he got into the middle of the room and everyone was looking at him, Prabhupada stopped speaking and Prabhupada said, ah, Tejas Maharaj. Anyway, that's by the way. But one story I heard about prasadam, not exactly with Srila Prabhupada in it personally, but it was with Jayananda. You may have heard of Jayananda. Very outstanding disciple of Srila Prabhupada who passed away just before Prabhupada left this world. So Jayananda Prabhu was temple president in San Francisco. And not a big temple, but some temple and group of devotees. And Jayananda was a very good cook. And his specialty was strawberry halava. So one of the devotees was doing a weekly preaching program in one of the local prisons. You know, some prisoners would gather and he'd give a class and have a kirtan like that every week. So one day, that devotee got the idea that we have a group there in the prison, and they're becoming devotees. They're criminals, but they're becoming devotees. And he thought, I would like to give them prasadam. So he asked Jayananda, can you please make a pot of halava, nice strawberry halava, and bring it to the prison? I will go ahead and start the program, but then you come with the other devotees and bring nice pot of halava, and then you come in and then we'll distribute the prasadam to the prisoners. So, off he went, devotee went to the prison. Jayananda made this big pot, serious pot of very serious strawberry halava. And then he and all the other devotees, maybe, I don't know, several devotees, whatever, off they went to the prison, which was a little distance away. So they're driving, and Jayananda said to the devotees, you know, I think we should test this halava and see if it's all right. So devotees all agreed, right, important. We don't want to serve them bad halava. So everyone got a nice plate of halava, nice plate. And they all ate it, and it was really nice halava. And Jayananda said, you know, it's really good. I think we should have a little more. So everyone got, you know, nice pile of halava. And they finished that halava, their plates. And Jayananda said, you know, actually, this is really good. I think we should have more. So they finished the halava, completely wiped it out. And Jayananda was feeling bad that, you know, what are we going to tell the devotee? So they arrived at the jail, and, you know, it's a big, high security place. So they had to go through security check. So they had to get out of the van, and the prison officers searched the van. And they saw this big pot. And the prison officers said, oh no! Is there food in there? You can't bring food in. No food. So they had to leave the pot, which was empty. So they went in, and the devotee was doing the program. And they walked in, and Jayananda told him, you know what happened? You won't believe it. They wouldn't let us bring the prasadam in. So the devotees are eating it. Yes. So prasadam, Krishna is all attractive. And prasadam is a manifestation of Krishna. So prasadam is very attractive. And it's Krishna manifests in different forms. Of course, he's there in his holy names. Very important. And he's present in the form of the deity. And there are many forms, manifestations of Krishna. But surely prasadam is one of the most attractive forms. And Prabhupada really emphasized prasadam. I remember in Bhaktivedanta Manor, because that was where I was based at the time, Prabhupada would come. And Prabhupada would come fairly often, more than to the great majority of temples outside of India. Two or three times a year, four times, Prabhupada would come. And Prabhupada liked oranges. But he would just have the orange with the peel cut into like quarters or eighths, like that. And then he would chew it and suck out the juice, but he wouldn't actually eat any of the body of the orange. And I remember we would be sitting there outside Prabhupada's room waiting for any maha-maha-prasadam, any remnants. And it would come out. And one of the favorites was those pieces of orange. And we would eat the whole thing. Eat the skin, the peel, just eat the whole thing. Even though, you know, from the point of view of sense gratification, it's not so nice. In fact, it's not nice. I think that's why people just generally don't eat it. So, yeah, prasadam is very important part of the culture of Krishna consciousness. And devotees are not like the Mayavadis. The Mayavadis in so many ways reject different things which devotees accept. Like melodic kirtan, very nice kirtan. The Mayavadis will think this is sense gratification. Or beautiful deity worship. The Mayavadis may think the same thing. And so many things. You know, living in a place like this, it's just, you know, they wouldn't do it because they have a certain conception of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. So they'd say all these types of things are external, they're Maya. They're just part of the material manifestation and we reject them. But devotees don't do that. And devotees, of course, know, at least after a while, that we shouldn't eat too much, even though it is prasadam. It is prasadam. But still, we should not eat too much because it may have other effects on our system, like just too much for the body to deal with. And either one gets sick or one puts on weight too much and it just becomes an unhealthy situation. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the description of the how the devotees would bring prasadam to Lord Chaitanya when they would come from Bengal, they would bring pots of prasadam. And a lot, really a lot of devotees, really a lot. And Lord Chaitanya would accept it very, very happily and thank them and tell Govinda, just put it in the back. There was a room in the back somewhere. And Govinda would go and put it there. And Lord Chaitanya would not eat it. But the devotees, like the next day, they would come and ask Govinda, so, did the Lord like our prasadam? What did he say? And Govinda would have to lie to them. Because Lord Chaitanya was not eating it. It was just sitting in the back room. But Govinda would have to lie and say, oh yes, the Lord really liked your Karela. Oh, so nice. But it was all just building up until it was practically filling the room. And so one day Govinda told Lord Chaitanya, my Lord, we have all this prasadam. It's been sitting there for weeks and months. What should we do with it? And Lord Chaitanya said, and Govinda explained how I have to lie to the devotees and, you know, I'm just not happy about this. So Lord Chaitanya said, all right, just bring it. Bring it now. So Govinda started bringing it pot by pot. And there was a lot. And just no question of one person eating it at all. Absolutely was enough for many, many people. Plus it had been sitting there, some of it, for months. And we're talking about sub-Gs and things like this, which will not last normally. But Govinda brought out all this prasadam and it didn't seem to be, you know, deteriorating at all. It seemed fresh. And Lord Chaitanya ate all of it. All of it. Yes. You know, you get some devotees who are prasadam specialists. And they, you know, you see when the Sunday feast has finished, everyone's left, but they're still there. And I don't know about here, but in some places I know some devotees have the practice of getting plenty and taking it back to their room and leaving it in the cupboard. And, you know, the next day, referring back to it, and you know, but it may actually be too much and it may go rotten, start really deteriorating. But Lord Chaitanya ate all of that, and it was all in first class condition, and he ate all of it. It may have been enough for 100 people. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, maybe I shouldn't mention this, but in the old, what they called the Roman Empire, this is back a couple of thousand years ago or something like that, or even more, they would have these gatherings in which people would eat and eat and eat. And then what they would do, they would induce vomiting. And they would vomit. And then go back and eat more. You know, in other words, it's completely just not nice at all. But prasadam is extremely important part of Krishna consciousness. And this morning we are fasting. Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada would say, is chanting, dancing and feasting. But today we are chanting, dancing and fasting. Yes. And in Russia, they have a special saying, hunger is the best cook, the best chef. Hunger is the best chef. Because the hungrier you are, the better the prasadam tastes. You know, if you've just had a big feast and, you know, really eaten too much, which we hope you don't do, but if you have, and you just can't move, and then someone brings your favorite preparation, what is usually your absolute favorite, but you won't be able to eat it because you can't. But when you're very hungry, even that preparation, whatever it is, which you do not like so much at all, but even that will become very attractive. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhagavat Prasad ki. Any comment or question from anyone? Is it? Comment, question? Nehe? Hare Krishna. You wanna say something? No. Scratching his head. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.